I'm just looking for one little piece of wisdom, just one little nugget of advice to make sure the night goes great.
Just three words. That's all you need to know.
What are they?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
B.I.G.
Go now, before I lose interest.
And I read that and I was all, huh? And then I was like, ah.
Shall we recalibrate our language?
He was like, what? And I'm all, no.
Check, hello, check, check, hello, check, 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 hello, check, check. Hello, check. Hey, what's up?
And now,
you're listening to a 5-hour experimental presentation. For further information, you will need to keep listening to your radio.
Our feature presentation.
I don't know who that last guy was, but I need more.
Yeah, he was good.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday morning, the 22nd of April.
Let's crackulate, you guys. What's going on? What's happening?
You know, living the dream.
Allie, do you ever leave your house?
Yeah.
Really? Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why do you ask that?
Well, it seems like...
it's like a rude question, but...
Well, look, this is coming from me, a guy who really almost never leaves his house. Mm-hmm. Allie seems to be more homebound than I am, just based on the fact that she always seems to be online. She always seems to be able to watch all the movies, all the shows, read all the books. It just seems like she's...
I'm just really tapped in.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, I'm just really tapped in.
And tapped in is code for lonely?
Yeah. Super alone.
You're very invested in having no friends? Like, what was the last time you, I don't know, met a person outside of the home for a thing?
Yesterday?
Happen? Yesterday. Boom.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, does lunch count
Drop
with a friend?
Drop the mic.
Yeah. Well, he did just say a thing, so lunch is a thing.
Lunch is
so
a thing.
So this is you on your way between the radio station and your house, stopping off at a Subway? That's what this is?
How dare you? No, this is me going home, freshening up, and meeting a friend. Yeah.
Okay.
It was he was real, too.
And you were back at the house by what?
Oh, one? I'd say 1:15. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. But then you didn't leave after that.
No.
Okay, good.
You're crazy.
You'd already shot your wad at that point. You'd done everything you could possibly do in a day.
It's a way of looking at it.
Ellen McKay is she bean.
Look, I'm not...
are we saying she bean or bean she?
I think she bean.
She bean. All right.
I'm not criticizing Allie. I'm just getting to know you a little bit. Look, I'm the same way. You know, the outside world has very little to offer me as well.
Yeah,
so
I agree.
I hear where you're coming from.
Yeah.
Just checking.
And stop being so judgy.
Speaking of people going to a thing, remember it seemed like a few years ago it became quite a trend to ask celebrities to the prom. Remember we had that whole string of videos? I think Justin Bieber, of course, got asked, Demi Lovato, Kobe Bryant, Shaun White, if I recall, actually went to someone's prom when asked.
Didn't Timberlake do one? Or?
Yeah.
I think Timberlake did one as well, yeah. There's a new video that's out that sounds like a celebrity is about to be asked to a prom, but it ends up being something a little bit different. His name is James Mazur. He goes to a place called Leland Prep. In this article, because it's bad journalism, it doesn't say where that is. But Leland Prep is the school, and he's a guy who doesn't have a date, and he has his eye on Kate Upton. Who can blame him, right?
Sure,
but
not
to go to prom. So let's see what he's got in mind for Miss Upton.
Hey, Kate. James here. You may be wondering why I'm making this video, so here goes. Right now, I'm a senior at Leland Prep in San Mateo, California.
There it is.
And my last chance to go to prom is only a week away. But here's the thing. I don't have a date. Literally every girl I asked said no. So, Kate, I know you're probably really busy, but on April 24th at 9 p.m.
What do you guys think he's going to ask?
Well, I would.
He's not going to ask her to go to his prom.
Huh. Well, if he's not going to ask her to go to a prom, would he ask her for a friend to go to a prom? I don't know. I can't imagine.
Yeah, maybe.
Why would you make this video and address her directly?
Maybe he wants to just Skype with her.
Okay. Let's find out.
Walk around with an iPad.
On April 24th at 9 p.m., it would be my absolute honor if you would come to my hometown and kill me.
What?
Here's the thing, Kate. The girls here just don't get me. It seems like everyone wants to go to prom with an idiot football player, or they'd rather go with some... basically someone who's not me. Even my best friend, who promised she'd be my date if nothing else worked out, changed her mind.
Is this starting to get a little depressing?
Just
this
a bit.
Is dark.
He wants her to come to his home and kill him. That's what he's asking.
So, I figured why not ask the sexiest woman alive if she had a gun and would be willing to spare me a few bullets. Now, Kate, you're probably on a beach somewhere shooting a magazine cover, but if you were to kill me, I think you'd have a really fun time. I'm not asking you to run me over with your car or anything. I'd be so happy just to see you snap my neck with your bare hands.
You guys still in?
Wow.
What is going on?
Love it. Sexiest hitman ever.
He's kidding?
Yeah, I think he's... My guess about this is that he's joking and hoping she'll go, oh, that's so funny, I'll come to the prom with you.
Right, because if he's not kidding and we're watching his suicide video, then it's no longer funny. But I think he's kidding because he's playing it straight, but it is funny, so it seems like he's doing it to be humorous. I don't know, maybe there's more.
Razor blade, sharpened stick, really, it's whatever you have time for. Even if you just stop by and beat me with a baseball bat for 10 minutes, that would mean the world. Think about it. How many times do you have to make someone's dreams come true? You could poison me for all I care. Kate, it's my senior year. Sure, I could spend my prom night just sitting alone at home, or sure, I could kill myself, but I want you to be the one who grabs my wrist, takes my pulse, and declares that I am finally dead. And if you can't make it, then you're welcome anytime. So, okay. Kate, will you kill me?
And then he holds up a sign that says, Kate Upton, will you kill me? So it has a little bit of a happy ending. If this weekend's not good for you,
wait, hold on.
Maybe another time.
Hold up.
Yeah.
The happy ending is?
Just that he's letting her off the hook. He's not making her commit to it to that date. Just some other time.
So the happy ending is that she can kill him some other time?
Kill him another time. Exactly, yes. I think so. So it doesn't seem quite as urgent, perhaps. Weird, right?
Oh, my God. That's not okay. at all. That's not
pretty,
okay.
It's pretty weird. I've never heard anything.
It is weird.
Is it just him trying to be funny?
That's having nothing to do with it.
He failed at that. And to put that on someone, just to even equate that with her, I think is wrong.
So in other words... God forbid he's serious and she lives with this for the rest of her life.
Yes.
Yeah. Because we don't want Kate Upton sad.
Well, no one wants that, Bean. Yes,
that's
the takeaway.
That's the takeaway from the story.
Wow.
Don't bring down Kate Upton.
That's weird.
Happy Wednesday, everybody.
All right.
Yay.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bito, shall we?
I can feel the tension of your need for my opinion.
On the program today, we are going to talk to the King of Mexico, who is our producer, who follows many animals on Instagram.
Yeah.
Now, I know that's a thing.
Yeah, he's down for animals that are internet celebrities. He loves them all, it seems like.
Now, Bean loves other people's pets, but do you have to know the people, or do you follow random pets, Bean?
Oh, I don't follow, any.
Okay.
I don't follow any of them. I mean, I don't get – look – if I saw Marnie the dog on the street, I would go, that's a cute dog. But that would be the extent of it. I wouldn't want to get my picture taken with her. I certainly wouldn't follow her on Twitter. I mean, Dave seems to know where she is every minute of the day. He could tell you what Marnie's schedule is.
He does.
He's stalking her.
And Marnie is one of many.
Yes, apparently so.
So that is a thing.
Go through Dave's social media and he's following snakes and hedgehogs and gorillas. It's crazy. I don't know what's happening with him.
I was yelling at him yesterday. You know the dog doesn't run that, right? It's a person.
Yeah, his response? Well, Allie follows Bailey from the Kings. I'm like, well, he's
that
a lion.
That was his response.
He's a real lion.
But we're talking about actual pets, which is absurd. So we're going to talk to him this morning about that. Are you a singing waiter or waitress? That's got to be a nightmare. We want to talk to you on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. We have chimps. I don't know if you saw this story, but chimpanzees are now getting rights as humans. Mm-hmm. They'll be granted human rights.
Look, I saw the Planet of the Apes movies, man. I know that's our future, and we are one step closer to allowing that to happen right now.
Tell you about that. We got William Shatner on the program today.
Love Bill.
And John Marshall is coming into the studio. Very excited about this. The movie is called Roar. When was it made, Bean? Was it 80s?
I think it was in the 70s, I want to say.
Yeah, looks like
it. I think.
The trailer looks like it was in the 70s. It's Tippi Hedren and her family, I guess, family and friends. They were living with lions. With
dozens of them.
With dozens of actual
free-range lions.
Just walking through the kitchen.
Yes.
Yeah.
And apparently none of the animals were hurt, but 70 people were hurt while filming this movie. 70.
I mean, like hurt to the point where you had your skull ripped off, that kind of hurt, because they were lions.
Yeah. Yeah. That's insane.
Yet they still made the movie.
They still made the movie.
What was your cutoff yesterday, Kevin?
Well, I was saying I was just being funny, but I was saying when you get to 59 or 60, don't you go, hey, we sort of have a problem. Like, maybe we don't want this many people being hurt. It seems like if you're on a set and you're shooting a movie, you have a pretty low tolerance for people getting hurt, right? I mean, right. Two or three people get hurt, you start going, well, this is cursed.
Yeah. They close down a production these days if a couple of people get hurt. But
70. Back then, man.
Who are these people that kept showing up the next day?
That's my question. What is wrong with you? So John Marshall will be here to answer that question this morning. Plus, we've got your tickets for Mumford & Sons in the third row when they play the Forum. We've got those coming up for you this morning as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:53.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey!
What's going on, man?
Things.
I like things.
Heard you talking about Dave's fascination with celebrity animals.
Yeah.
Yeah. In a related story, it's my sad duty to report the passing of Tinkerbell.
Tinkerbell.
Hello, Kevin.
Tinkerbell.
Paris Hilton's dog.
Okay.
Her teacup chihuahua.
Oh, the one that she took with her everywhere for a week and a half.
Everywhere she went, there was teacup.
I think Tinkerbell was one of the dogs she stuck with the longest, Kevin.
Yes, Kevin.
She actually carried that one around for a while.
Yes, Kevin.
My bad.
What's going on? Is this some sort of bomb scare?
We don't know. Just keep, it does look like
do we have to go to the shelter? Is this... Are they finally... The Russians... Are the Ruskies finally dropping the big one?
I don't know.
Is it duck and cover time? What's going on? Is it DEFCON 4?
I don't know. Chip just marine crawled out of the studio. I don't know if that's good or bad.
Lights I've never seen going on before. And it's flashing. There's a secret entrance we have to get into now. There's some sort of safe. We have to pull the nuclear football out of the safe and press the codes.
I just thought, I hope that Ralph just keeps looking down and reading the story, because
it's hard to focus.
It's not possible to focus.
This
it's just
is going on.
Ridiculous.
Anyway, yes, Tinkerbell passed away. Paris herself announced the death via social media, of course, because if it doesn't happen on Twitter, it doesn't happen, people.
That's true.
I'd like to read verbatim Paris's touching tribute to the Chihuahua Tinkerbell. I feel like I've lost a member of my family. She was such a special and incredible soul. We went through so much together. I can't believe she's gone. I will miss her and think about her for the rest of my life. I love you, Tinky. You are a legend.
You are a legend.
You'll never be forgotten.
You're a legend.
Yes. I don't, what is happening?
Can someone tell us something, please?
Dear Mike, what's happening?
We're going on and off the air. Our transmitter's going on and off.
All right.
Wow.
All right. So now, at least now we know.
We're calling engineering.
Okay.
So should we just keep doing what we're doing?
Yeah, keep doing what you're doing. Right. Is there any point in this exercise that I'm engaged in right now? Can anyone hear?
Yeah, because it's going in and out.
Our touching tribute to Tinkerbell?
Half of it.
Okay.
So we're just doing a show for the podcast listeners
this
close at this point.
To turning around. I'm just going to get back in the car and go home. I'm not fooling. The Darkness needs a new drummer again. Emily Dolan was only in the band for a few months. She's on the group's new album, Last of Our Kind, which will be out on June the 1st. And played her first and now apparently only gig with them on March the 6th. You'll see her in the forthcoming video for the new single, By the Darkness, Open Fire. And now Emily replaced founding drummer Ed Graham in 2014, but it looks like she's out, and so The Darkness needs a new drummer again.
That was the band that we played.
Things are good now. Good update.
We're back on the air.
Okay.
That was the band that we played a few years ago. Remember, Ralph, that had that, I Believe in a Thing Called Love?
Remember that song?
I liked that.
I'd like them too.
I'd like to hear a little more of it.
That's all I got. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry they have drummer problems. I happen to know a drummer, though.
Oh.
I know a guy who likes beats.
I like beats.
That's right.
That would be awesome.
Can you imagine? We would be able to get it all out of the way in one fell swoop.
Fantastic.
I, myself, am a drummer. So, and I've been lucky to have been exposed to a bunch of different types of music. My dad
right.
grew up listening to jazz, mm-hmm. and he loves all sorts of stuff. I'm not closed-minded. But
what?
That aside,
mm-hmm.
let me see what else we could talk about
okay.
here.
All right, that's the audition there. And I think we have Kevin's candidate.
My candidate for?
For president of these United States.
Only if you're talking about Waka.
Waka Flocka Flame.
Couldn't be happier.
That's the guy Kevin's going to vote for, I guarantee you.
Yeah. Well, Kevin votes for comedy.
I do.
Waka Flocka Flame announced his candidacy for president of the United States on Monday, 4/20. Told Rolling Stone magazine via campaign video, Hillary is my only competition because the women love her. She's honest and her husband's Bill. Other than that, he thinks he's got clear sailing right to the White House. Here is his platform. He wants to legalize marijuana.
Good.
Raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. Provide public school kids a chance to learn a trade.
Good.
Right. I think it all sounds good.
Yeah.
Oh, but
is there anything else, sir?
It's not going to happen.
No.
Why?
Because you have to be at least 35 years of age to run for president, and Waka will only be 30.
Ah, Waka.
This year, so he didn't read all the fine print.
We get our hopes up.
When it comes to running for president, so...
I was confused by just one platform, a point that he made, which is that anyone with a size 13 foot or bigger would no longer be allowed to walk in public. We'd have to take the train.
Yeah. Yeah. You take up too much of the sidewalk.
Right.
He actually said that.
Well, it's the carbon footprint, right?
No, it's an actual footprint.
What? Maybe he's confusing carbon footprint with actual footprint.
Literally.
Maybe he heard someone say, oh, these big carbon footprints are just ruining the world. So he just took that to anybody with big feet.
Could be.
Well, I'm glad that that's on the top five list of his agenda for America.
Yeah.
He's getting big feet off the ground.
Sadly. Not this
USA!
Election.
What?
Not this election. Maybe the next one.
Shoot.
Today, celebrity birthdays. Actor Jack Nicholson, 78 years old today.
Retired or not retired, Ralph?
By all accounts, retired.
Done.
Yeah.
Wow.
Director John Waters is 69. Jeffrey Dean Morgan, one of my favorites, starred in that show Magic City that I love so much. Then they taunted me. They teased me and said, oh, they're going to do a feature film version as well. That's the last I've heard of it.
Yeah, they were destroying me.
I've heard nothing moving forward from there. He's 49 years old today. Silverchair singer Daniel Johns is 36. Marshawn Lynch of the Seattle Seahawks turns 29 years old. Also 29, actress Amber Heard.
Yeah.
She's the best.
I will not rest until the final episodes of the Playboy Club air.
What does Johnny Depp have that I don't have?
Because that's what winners do.
Should we check in with Nick? See if he's all right today?
See if he celebrates Amber Heard's
birthday?
Yeah, he's
doing it?
You know he's got a tree up and he decorates and everything. You know. He's dancing around the Maypole. I don't know, whatever you do.
You dance around the Maypole.
He's doing it. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
20 minutes away from one of my... Not that anyone cares, but one of my five favorite celebrity guests on the Kevin and Bean Show joins us this morning, the great William Shatner at 7 o'clock. Looking forward to that. And don't forget, keep listening for your chance to see Mumford & Sons at the Forum. We've got tickets for you in the third row, and those are coming up as well.
Here's the headline of this article, Chimps Given Human Rights by U.S. Court for the First Time.
How about that?
Chimpanzees. A New York judge granted...
Aren't chimpanzees 99% the same DNA as humans?
Well, I mean, that's what they're saying, yeah.
Let them be humans.
Well, Okay. I don't think anyone's keeping them from being humans, but this judge in New York did grant two chimpanzees a writ of habeas corpus, which means they get their day in court.
Mm. Well, what's happened is this organization called the Non-Human Rights Project. I don't know what their ultimate game plan is, if they're trying to get the gates thrown open in all the zoos or what they're trying to do, but they are arguing that these two monkeys are being held against their will and that they should be freed. They're in a laboratory at Stony Brook University, which I think is in New York. And they went to the judge and they said, hey, they should have a day in court and we should be able to argue on their behalf that they can't be held there without their permission. So the judge said, who knows how he'll ultimately rule, but the judge said, yeah, they can have their day in court. So they are people. So we wanted to find out more about this story because this is a legal precedent that could have repercussions for many, many years to come in lots of different ways. So we asked our producer, Dave, to line us up somebody from the Non-Human Rights Project, and I believe we have them on the line now. Hello there. Who's this, please? Hello?
It's a monkey.
Who is this?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Well, we're fine. Who is this? I'm sorry. We just heard a monkey on the phone. We weren't sure there was a human there, too.
First of all, may I ask you to please refrain from using the M word in my presence, sir?
These aren't monkeys we're
no,
talking
sir,
about?
No, the chimpanzee is part of the great apes, sir, not a monkey at all. Monkeys
okay.
have tails, good sir.
Okay,
we, however,
I apologize.
Chimpanzees, we do not have tails. We are not monkeys. We are apes.
Did you say
Wait,
we?
Yes, that's right. I am a chimpanzee lawyer, sir.
Well, you're a lawyer for chimpanzees. You're not an actual chimpanzee.
Oh, I beg to differ, madam. I am an actual chimpanzee who is also a lawyer. Allow me to introduce myself. My card. I am Bobo Esquire.
So, Bobo,
yes, sir.
Forgive me for treading over this territory again. You are a chimpanzee who is also a lawyer.
Once again, sir, that was asked and answered.
Okay,
all
right.
Please move on. Your Honor, if it pleases the court, can these chuckleheads be removed from
my
presence?
You're not in court. We're not in court.
First, they call me a monkey, sir, which is tantamount to the N-word in my neighborhood.
Oh, well, we apologize.
Yeah, we didn't know that.
They ask me several times if I am indeed a lawyer and a chimpanzee, which I have clearly answered, Your Honor. I recommend that these two be sentenced to death.
Okay, well, that seems a little bit extreme just for misunderstanding.
Oh,
Bobo.
Is it? You who would keep my kind in cages and zoos all over these United States, sir. I beg to differ, sir. Bobo objects, sir.
Well, Bobo, so you seem obviously very advanced.
I'm very intelligent. That's what separates the great apes from the monkeys.
Well, these other chimpanzees that you want to get out of the labs and whatnot, are they going to be moved to a sanctuary, or do you just want to roam free?
Well, first, a sanctuary would be a good start, but eventually we'd like to get a condo.
Okay.
I'm sorry, a condo?
For chimpanzees?
An apartment somewhere in Central Park West.
Wouldn't you just release them into the wild?
Have you ever lived in the wild, sir?
Well, no, but I'm...
It's no fun.
I'm not a chimp.
They have no Starbucks.
Right.
They have no movie theaters, no IMAX in the wild.
Wow. Huh. Okay.
We... as great apes would like to enjoy the same creature comforts that you humans enjoy.
So you just see chimpanzees eating at fancy restaurants and...
Oh, I see. You don't want us in your restaurant. Perhaps you'd like us to eat in the back where you don't have to deal with us. Perhaps there'll be chimpanzee-only water fountains in your future. That's what you would like to see, sir.
Well, no, but I don't want to be sitting there having dinner and having a chimpanzee throwing his poop at me while I'm eating either.
Oh...
You insisted,
that's a thing,
Bobo.
Right, Bobo?
Oh, the old poop stereotype.
Bobo, do you in
I
fact...
see exactly who I'm dealing with, sir.
Do you throw poo?
If you get me angry enough, I suppose I will. And scene.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:53.
That means it's time for Ralph Garman and the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday morning. Hey, Ralph.
Hey, good news. Netflix has already announced a second season of Daredevil.
Wow. Now, have you had the time to binge watch that yet, Ralph?
I have not seen all the episodes, but I've seen a couple of them.
I hear it's outstanding.
It's great. It's great television, and it's well-deserved, and I'm glad those guys are getting a second season, which means we get to see the red costume. Woo! Red costume!
We get to see the red costume.
Red costume! Close this thing on.
Yes.
Yeah, that was red costume. He's got
yeah,
a red
season
costume.
Season one, he's dressed. He's
got
in
a black
one right,
right now.
Season
yeah,
one, yeah.
It's early on. We haven't seen the full-blown DD costume yet, so okay. Stuff. Right?
Okay.
Who's with me?
No one.
Speaking of television news, fascinating details coming out thanks to those leaked emails from Sony that went to WikiLeaks. Finding out more things about celebrities. For example, Ben Affleck participated in a PBS documentary series called Finding Your Roots. Executive producer Skip Gates Jr. is also the host of that show, and he did research into Affleck's past and found interesting things about several of his ancestors, including one of them used to be a slave owner. And so Affleck came to him and said, yeah, we're not going to talk about that, right? We're not going to use that in the special. And so the guy said, PBS says we're not allowed to, you know, be censored by the subjects of our documentaries and all. That's against the rules. And so Sony got involved and contacted the producer and said it would be a good idea for them to take that out of the special so that no one knew that Ben Affleck's ancestors were slave owners.
Okay.
Michael Linton of Sony told the producer, I would take it out if no one knows. But if it gets out that you are editing the material based on this kind of sensitivity, then it gets tricky. Again, all things being equal, I would definitely take it out. And the producer said, to do this would be a violation of PBS rules, actually, even for Batman. Once we open the door to censorship, we lose control of the brand. But they did, in fact, take out the reference. And now Affleck has had to go on Facebook apologizing, basically saying he was embarrassed by the fact, and he did lobby to have that information deleted from the program. And, you know, they talked about some other members of his family that were, like, freedom fighters and things like that.
Sure.
You know? But they didn't mention his slavery.
Don't you think, though, Ralph, from what we know about people from Massachusetts, is that most of them owned slaves, right?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
It's just the kind of people they are.
They're awful, awful racist
awful
group.
Awful people.
It's true. Yeah. Horrible people.
Horrible people.
Yes.
Bobo and I object.
Massholes.
Let me ask you guys this, Ralph. If you or you, Kevin, or Ali had been in Ben Affleck's shoes, would you have asked them to remove that from a special about your genealogy?
Of course not.
No, it's history, and it's
not a poor reflection on you what happened
right.
in the 1700s.
No,
right?
I
don't own any
my
slaves.
Grandpa. Yeah.
If it happened in a time when slavery was the norm, when people owned slaves and that happened, well, then you can hardly say... We'd be embarrassed by that. I wouldn't be proud of it.
I wouldn't brag about it. But no, I would also not try to cover it up.
It's the nature of the times, right?
Right. Yeah. So that's kind of weenie on Ben Affleck's part, I think.
I think so, too. I think he was a little squeamish about it. And he says in his statement, he said he was embarrassed by the information. I felt embarrassed. The very thought left a bad taste in my mouth.
I can see that. He lives by, you know, in the PR world. I can see that he would just want to not have that negative associated.
He still hasn't apologized for Gigli.
That's right.
So
all the apologies he needs to make.
Good point.
Now, did he marry Jennifer Garner for reals, or does he just own her? Do we know?
Oh, come on. I didn't want any television show about my family to include a guy who owns slaves, he said about the TV show. Look, it's a documentary about your roots and about your ancestors. If you think nothing bad's ever going to show up, then don't participate in the special.
Right.
If you're that much of a weenie, crybaby weenie, squirt a few, Ben Affleck. All I care about is this is going to be a better country when Waka Flocka Flame is our president.
That's what I'm talking about.
He announced his candidacy on Monday, which was 420, told Rolling Stone magazine he's going to run for president. He will legalize marijuana. Yay! He will raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. Yay! He will provide public school kids a chance to learn a trade. Yay! He will make people with big feet not walk in the streets.
What? Anybody who got feet oversized 13 cannot walk in public no more. They have to take trains, cabs, and buses. I want to see your big-ass feet taking all the space on the concrete.
All right, he may not be the candidate that we need.
He had me right up until
I hope he's in the debates.
He had me until the big feet. Big feet.
That's awesome.
Apparently a PBS documentary showed that Ben Affleck's ancestors had big feet, and he had them take that out because he was embarrassed by the big feet. Linda Lohan! Speaking of embarrassment, she's upset people again. Posted a photo yesterday evening of some gorgeous Arabic writing in that very attractive Arabic script that they use. And she put the translation in her caption that the words above mean, you're beautiful. Unfortunately, the message literally was translated means, you're a donkey.
Really?
Yes.
You think somebody was just fooling with him?
I think
with
someone
her?
Did, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it says,
you're beautiful. You should get that tattooed on your back. You're an ass, basically, is the translation.
That's awesome.
So people are upset. And do you guys, like me, have a very fond place in your heart for the movie Galaxy Quest? I love that movie.
I do.
It's good.
Very,
good.
Very entertaining film. Of all of his Tim Allen films, I think that's probably my favorite. Sigourney Weaver also starred, Alan Rickman, Tony Shalhoub. About a show like Star Trek where they go back, they're making the rounds at fan conventions and stuff, and then a real-life alien race comes to them and asks them for help because they watch the TV show and they think it's real. Well, it looks like that movie from 1999 is going to get a TV series based on it. A space comedy. We were just talking about space comedies the other day
with
Paul Feig about how you don't see those anymore, but this will be a series. No word yet on who will star. None of the original cast are expected to be back, but the premise will be the same. It'll be about a bunch of washed-up actors from a science fiction show who get sucked up into a real crisis with an alien race. So I think that could be funny.
Mm.
Come on, Bean. Give it a chance, man. You don't got to be like that. And this is my favorite music story in a long, long time. David Grohl has a super group side project called the Teenage Time Killers. Are you familiar with this band? Here's the lineup. It's Dave. You got Nick Oliveri from Queens of the Stone Age. Slipknot's Corey Taylor. Alkaline Trio and Blink-182's Matt Skiba. Randy Blythe of Lamb of God sings lead on the first single, Hung Out to Dry. Their album, their debut album, is going to be released on July the 31st. Are you familiar with what the debut album's title is?
I am not.
No.
Of their very first album?
I'm not.
The very first album of Teenage Time Killers. Their debut album on July the 31st will be entitled Greatest Hits Volume 1. Come on!
That's awesome.
That's why Dave Grohl's the best.
That's awesome.
Greatest Hits Volume 1. Today's celebrity birthdays. It is. Today's celebrity birthdays. Amber Heard's 29 years old today.
Have we checked in with Nick yet?
Oh, I want to celebrate her birthday, but why can't she be with me?
Dave, get Nick on the phone.
Instead of that Johnny Depp, what's he have? I don't have.
Photos of them walking hand in hand in Australia, by the way, looking very happy today.
Oh, good for them.
They're a good couple. Marshawn Lynch is 29 years old today as well. Daniel Johns from Silverchair is 36. Jeffrey Dean Morgan turns 49 years old. John Waters turns 69. And Jack Nicholson, the legend, the icon, the Jack. He's 78. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We've had our next guest on dozens of times throughout the years here on K-Rock, and it is never less of a thrill every single time. Philanthropist, actor, producer, singer, author, spokesman, comedian, and of course, around this time of year, horseman, our friend William Shatner joins us back on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, Bill. How are you, buddy?
The years go by, don't they?
Yes, they do.
They certainly do.
This is like, for me, it's the 30th year, but we're saying it's the 25th because of the horse show changed, but 25 years. And every year I come on your show and talk about this charity, and you allow me to do that, and it is fantastic.
But Bill, if you're changing the number of years, why don't you just go with like 15?
Or 10, or I just started it.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
25 years of this particular horse show, raising millions of dollars for local and national charities and for kids and for veterans. It's a really worthwhile project. Let me give you the whole thing, and then we can talk about something else. The Priceline.com Hollywood Charity Horse Show, sponsored by Wells Fargo. Food supplied at our party on Saturday night by Firestone Grill. Essentially, those are the sponsors I want to thank. Great, enlightened companies who give of themselves and give of their company and give of their employees to help us raise money for these marvelous charities that are all children's and veterans-oriented. Every penny that the public gives us goes directly to those charities. The Hollywood Charity Horse Show, there's a party Saturday night. If you want to make a contribution, the seats are expensive, $300 to $400. But it is a direct charitable contribution. It's a deduction. If you're going to give any money to children's charities this year, why not give it to the Hollywood Charity Horse Show? Come see REO Speedwagon, Kevin Cronin, and three of his five band members are going to entertain us. And it'll be the best time, Saturday afternoon through the Saturday evening. Your contribution will be a deduction. If you can't, go to horseshow.org and make any kind of a contribution. Horseshow.org for anything, any information you might need. And wonderful. You'll see a lot of celebrities there on Saturday night.
Bill, I just want to go to the other end of the spectrum, which is I've been at the breakfast where you hand out the money.
Yeah.
That is raised by this horse show, and it's unbelievable.
We give out checks at that time, totaling $500,000 usually in that area, year after year. So we have raised, you know, $500,000 in the large scheme of things is not a great deal of money in terms of the huge charitable parties that are raising millions of dollars. But that, like the drip, drip, drip of a continual water supply, which, by the way, we need.
we don't have time for that.
We have made a contribution of millions of dollars. So if the public gets behind us, we'll be able to give kids and veterans in need some help.
Bill, I don't think I've ever asked you this. My wife helps run the charity Friends and Helpers,
which
you've donated to graciously. Why did you start doing this? My wife started that charity because she was in an abusive relationship before.
I saw a child. At that time, it was a thalidomide baby. I saw a beautiful girl about 6 years old. No arms, one leg, holding the reins of a horse. She was on the horse, back of a horse, holding the reins of the horse with her toes. I as I tell you about it now, tears come to my eyes because that's what I felt when I saw her. And she was available for horse therapy, which is what one of the benefits of this charity. I made it my vow that I would help her and help children like her through the years. And I've been successfully doing that with the help of your audience.
Well, the event is coming up this Saturday at the Los Angeles Equestrian Center in Burbank. Again, as Bill said, the address is horseshow.com for all the details about the event Saturday night, or just to make a contribution. It really is a wonderful charity. And I also want to kind of piggyback on Kevin's question, Bill, and that is, we know what these horses do for these kids. We know how much of a difference it makes in their therapy and their healing. How did you personally get so involved in horses? Because it's been a part of your entire adult life.
I must have. It's like the secret thing. Horses are expensive to own. I didn't have enough money for the longest time, got middle-aged. And buried deep in my middle-aged psyche was the love of horses that I knew that I'd go to the movies, I'd read the books, I'd pet on a horse. But the passion I didn't know about. And so it's been, I don't know, 30 years, and I've been riding every year. I've gotten really good. I compete in these things, and my expectation is I'm going to win. If I don't, I'm disappointed. And there are hundreds of contestants. I'm up against 18-year-olds who were born on horses. So it's a passion, and it keeps me in shape. It keeps me going. I love my horses. I'm sitting here with my dogs. It's part of my life.
Do you compete against 18-year-olds who literally have no idea who you are or what you've done?
That is correct.
That's awesome.
That is correct. They're coming forth from their mother's womb on the horse. It's an unbelievable sight. Go to horseshow.org and you'll see somebody born on a horse.
So, Bill, you mentioned how active you stay, and that's one of the things that's always impressive. I mean, look, we're younger than you are, Mr. Shatter. There's no way we can keep up with your schedule. It's ridiculous. You just got back from Dubai, for God's sakes, a couple of days ago. As so many of your castmates that you're so closely familiar with Star Trek have passed on, we just lost Mr. Nimoy, of course. You've lost so many other cast members. How is it you've stayed so healthy and so active well into your 80s? Like, what is the secret at this point, sir?
I don't know. First of all, it's genetic. Secondly, it's luck because germs are floating all over the place and they find entry. And you're like Dubai is, you take your life in your hands. There's strange diseases everywhere. But I've been lucky, and I live well. I'm careful with what I eat and exercise. I do all the prescribed things. I follow Dr. Oz around like a little hound dog.
Maybe that's not the best idea, but okay.
Well,
who am I to argue with your success?
Hey, it seems to be working for you, though, huh?
If you sniff at Dr. Oz's leg, there's no telling what'll happen.
Wow.
Well, I do know there's no slowing down for Bill Shatner, that's for sure. And I wanted to ask you one more thing, because I follow you on Twitter, and you've confused me so much lately, because you seem to be live-tweeting so many shows like that I would not have expected from you, like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and The Flash and even Dancing with the Stars. What's going on with that?
I got roped in, and I'm helping friends of mine out, and there's a whole network of there's a whole charitable network out there that if you do a favor for somebody, they do a favor for you, like a celebrity thing. So there's a whole, like, underground network of, I'll help you if you help me. So I'm out there helping people, and they contribute to the charity.
That's great. That makes a lot of sense. Well, it's a wonderful, wonderful charity. We've been lucky enough to be invited to it throughout the years, and we've definitely vouched for Mr. Shatner. Again, the details are at horseshow.org, and you get to meet Bill, right? People can actually shake your hand, get a picture or something Saturday night in Burbank as well, right, Bill?
Sniff the dirt as I ride by.
Wait, is that a choice? Can we choose to meet or sniff dirt?
Send me an email.
That's a terrible choice.
You are the best, Bill. We love you, and it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. Good luck. Have fun Saturday night.
Thank you. I will. Thanks for the opportunity, guys.
You bet. We're going to talk to a man named John Marshall next hour who lived with lions, and I mean like 100 lions. And I think weren't there also cheetahs and tigers and all sorts of other big cats as well, too. He was part of a film that you can see in theaters called Roar. And it is a fascinating, fascinating story, and I can't wait to talk to John next hour. First, though, Ralph, I'm glad you're in here.
Yes!
You brought us a story a couple days ago about the ABBA theme restaurant
going
to be opening up in Stockholm, Sweden here recently.
Home of ABBA. We have a restaurant where they do singing and dancing of all the ABBA songs.
And by the way, this is Bjorn Ulvaeus, who is actually he was one of the bees in ABBA. He's one of the four guys in ABBA who's behind this restaurant.
He was the second bee.
Was he the second bee?
So when you go to this restaurant, you'll sit down, you order your food, and then the waiters will be singing and dancing ABBA songs while they serve you in the restaurant.
Take a chance.
Would that be a place you guys would want to go?
Hell to the yeah!
Not even a tiny bit.
Come on!
I might want to see that.
Yeah.
I think. But it doesn't sound like you can turn them off.
Yeah, what if they're slow bringing your food and you go, stop singing for a second.
But if they're singing Dancing Queen, bring in your chicken piccata. Yes. That's awesome.
Sounds terrible. We did talk
Allie and I are going.
We did talk to Ralph at the time, and he has been a singing waiter.
I was all singing, all dancing, all sexy waiter, yes.
And we did not know that about you. Tell us again what the circumstances were.
I'm trying to remember when this was. I guess it was in college. I worked at that time was a brand new restaurant on the Delaware River. It was a boat. It was a floating restaurant that would go up and down the Delaware. It was called the Spirit of Philadelphia. And all of the wait staff, it was part of the deal. You had to sing and dance as well as wait tables.
And you do that to gain experience because you're interested in performing, right? You want to be in show business. That's why anyone takes this job, right?
Well, not really you're not going to be discovered on the Spirit of Philadelphia, but there was a bunch of us who, like myself, I did a ton of musical theater in high school and in college, and we were all trying to make a buck. So a lot of my friends and I, we went on this thing because, look, you're going to wait tables anyway, right?
Right.
You'd make a few extra bucks, first of all, per hour because it was a specialized gig. And also your tips were better because people would tip you based on your performances and stuff. So.
What was it like after you started it? Was it fun? Did you look back on that fondly and go, that was great?
Well, it
seems like a nightmare to me.
But, you know, like a lot of restaurant jobs, especially when you're younger, it's just a great group of people and everybody's sort of banging everybody else and you're out there drinking after the shift is over. I mean, it was a great time in my life. The job itself was a bit of a grind because it sounds fun because we're performers anyway. So you think, well, I got a chance to perform as well as do this straight job. But what you don't realize is that a large part of the evening was sort of an organized up with people kind of medley that you did with all the other singing waiters and waitresses.
Right.
And boy, that gets old after about the second week of singing. Fame! We're going to live forever! And you get the jazz hands going. Excuse me. And you're doing the whole production number and everything. After a while, it's like, all right, this is the cheesiest thing I've ever been part of.
So would you say you hitched a ride on Riverboat Queen? I couldn't even get it out.
Wow.
It was so bad.
That was awful.
We would like to talk to you if you have been or are a waiter or waitress that sings.
Singing waiters and waitresses!
Are there, the phone number is 1-800-520-1067. Are there any places that you guys know of in Southern California where they have singing waiters or waitresses?
Michelli's. Michelli's is famous.
Michelli's is what?
Where's that?
Michelli's is in the Valley.
Valley. All right.
And it is well known for their singing waitstaff. Many of them sing opera.
That's horrific.
It's not
that
horrific.
Is a terrible dinner.
Beautiful voices and many very talented people.
What was your favorite number to sing, if you remember, Ralph?
I think we talked about this when we first had the conversation. My big solo number. Everybody had to do part of the, you did the group show, where we all did, where we all had our choreography and we did all our numbers, including Fame. I'm not kidding. We used to open with Fame.
Oh, dear God.
But then you also had to do it throughout the night. They would call up the wait staff and you'd do a solo number.
Okay.
And my solo was...
Wheel in the sky keeps on turning...
Wheel in the Sky. I said,
it's a short number, but you really nailed it.
I would bring down the house. No, I did an oldie song from the 50s called Sea Cruise by a guy named Frankie Ford back in the day. Mm-hmm. And it was a peppy, upbeat, short, little rock and roll oldies kind of thing.
And you're on a boat.
I was on a boat, Sea Cruise. It was appropriate, and people would sing along and clap and everything. It was a big crowd pleaser. I would make bank off of Sea Cruise.
But you wouldn't literally be carrying drinks and stuff singing. It was a set-aside little stage area?
A little stage area where you would put down after you served your course, you'd go up and perform. Yeah, but there is people. I think Michelli's, they do it well. They're actually waiting tables as well.
Hmm.
Wow.
Do you think they take requests? Like, could you ask them to sing a song and they would sing it for you? At a place like Michelli's, do those restaurants have a preset?
Yeah, they have their own stuff that they do. I mean, I suppose
come on
you
a
could.
Menu a menu of songs.
Yeah, I suppose you could if you wanted to. But
I'd like to have a dinner salad.
What's the best
and
tip?
I want you to do some Journey.
What's the best tip you ever got?
Quit singing.
Because that would be...
No. I was for a birthday. It was for a lady's birthday. I remember specifically. And it was a request situation where she said... I was doing Neil Diamond songs at the time.
Okay.
And they had heard me do one of my solo songs. I did Sweet Caroline. She said, Forever in Blue Jeans is my wife's favorite song. I'll give you $100 if you'll sing that.
So I went up, like, all right.
I went up to the band. I said, you guys know Forever in Blue Jeans and Jean Boy. That's it. and I did that. So $100 for a song.
That's pretty strong.
Request.
That's impressive.
In the day, that was pretty good.
Yeah. You didn't miss that job when you left, though.
I was ready to go.
Yeah.
At the end of that engagement, I think I had explored that opportunity to its fullest.
I feel like being a waiter or waitress comes with its own sort of nightmarish properties because you have to deal with people.
Yes.
And people can be dicks.
Yes.
And that seems like that would already be a strain on yourself.
Here's the upside of this thing was everybody would load onto the boat, right? And then you would leave port. And then you would serve the meal, and then you would perform stuff, and then the boat would come back, and then people would get off. So it was really only like one seating, so you didn't have to deal with people all night long. That was another advantage of this gig, was that it just had to, like, you'd do a lunch cruise or a dinner cruise, but you only really had to deal with one group of people for your entire ship.
Plus, they were trapped, so they couldn't leave during your song.
Trapped in the audience.
Unless you heard a big splash, and you knew you weren't going over very well. Yeah.
All right, Chris, you hold on. Daniel, you hold on. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. I don't think we've ever had this conversation before, but we want to talk to you if you are or were a singing waiter or waitress. Your call's next on K-Rock.
Who ordered the soup?
Ralph Garvin's got his nose in the air here because he's
just
a better singing waiter than any of these
singing
waiters on hold, he
says.
Wait,
just because you sing at your restaurant doesn't make you a singing waiter.
We were talking about the new ABBA.
No!
The new ABBA restaurant opening up in Stockholm where the waiters and waitresses will be singing ABBA songs while they serve your food. And that kind of got us on the topic of singing waiters. Ralph was a singing waiter in college back in Philadelphia, and we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with, Ralph, let's go to your ultimate foe, Eric in Santa Clarita, and just clear the deck, get him out of the way first, and then we'll move on to some others.
Yeah, Eric.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
What's going on?
You used to be a singing waiter.
Yes, sir.
Okay. You worked at Farrell's, the ice cream place?
Yes, sir.
And you had to sing when people ordered what?
They ordered the zoo, which is like the biggest ice cream thing you'll ever see in your life.
I thought you just had a siren and you pounded on a drum and did flips.
A stretcher.
I'm sorry?
Wasn't it on a stretcher?
Brought it out.
It's basically two people hold it and then you put it in a hole and they run around the whole restaurant for everyone to see with the siren going.
Right.
And how much singing is that?
Right, what are you singing?
At the very end of that, you would go to whoever had ordered it, and most likely it was a birthday, and you would do, there was like five or six kind of songs that you would sing to the person of the birthday, and you get the restaurant involved and stuff like that.
So you would basically sing happy birthday to them?
No, you would sing different things. Like we had a sort of a military chant, where one person says something and it gets repeated back and you kind of sing it along. There's a bunch of them.
Right, but this would only happen in this instance. You wouldn't sing ordinarily otherwise.
No.
Okay. Mm.
He's a specialist. He's a designated hitter, is what he is.
Not up to snuff for Ralph.
Not a singing waiter.
Wow.
He's saying,
what if nobody orders the zoo that day? Then there's no singing. I had to sing every goddamn shift. I was singing my heart out. I was doing group numbers, solos, duets.
So no one.
My ass off.
All right, sorry. All right, Eric.
Denied, Eric.
Thank you for the call. You get nothing. Good day, sir. All right, let's go to Mark and Topanga. He's online too. Let's see if he's up to snuff for Ralph.
All right, Mark. Hi.
Hey, party people. What's up?
Good luck. Singing waiters.
Tell me, Mark. Tell me your experience.
Okay, so I was working at a place called Chapter 8 Steakhouse out in Agora, and there was this eccentric millionaire dude who would come in and spend like $3,000-$4,000. He'd order the Chateau Latour, he'd order, you know, all this food and not eat it. He would just drink the whole time, and he loved Frank Sinatra, and I'm a singer. Uh-huh. And one time I was just like, I was humming near his table. He said, hey, what are you singing? And I sang him a Frank Sinatra song, and he tipped me $1,000.
$1,000?
Wow.
That's pretty strong. And then he would come in once a week, and I would sing him a Frank Sinatra song, and he would tip me $1,000.
Wow. That's amazing.
So you were a singing waiter for one customer.
That's pretty much it, yeah.
Wow.
A very good customer.
Yeah, no kidding.
But if this guy didn't come in, you weren't singing at the at your restaurant.
Well, no. Well,
no, denied. Not a singing waiter. Get off my radio. Not a singing waiter. You're a whore. You're a whore who got paid by an old man to sing the song for him, probably while something else was happening.
What does a guy have to
not
do?
Not a singing waiter. All right, every shift I was there singing my heart out. One old man would roll in once a week, give me $1,000 for one song. Please, one song.
Ralph is the only singing waiter in America at this point. All right, let's try Daniel. I feel good about Daniel in Costa Mesa. He's on line one. He's actually a singing waiter, okay?
All right, Daniel.
Good morning.
Well done.
Now that's a singing waiter.
Well done. All right, where were you working?
I was working for Macaroni Grill,
yeah.
Where you were only supposed to be singing, actually, for people's birthdays, but what would happen is I started singing all these tunes every day, every time I would have a customer, if it was a special occasion, I would sing something, and the other waiters started whoring me out to their tables, and they would tip me extra for singing to their tables.
So you worked at a place and basically just went rogue.
Yeah.
They didn't want you to sing.
You were supposed to sing. You were just off the reservation. Just singing.
That's a strange
situation. Yeah. No, it actually turned out to be pretty cool. I got to be a part of a lot of special moments, anniversaries and stuff like that.
But you were the only one that sang.
And it was your own decision. No, you sang when you wanted to sing.
There were other people, but I actually was the only one who actually...
You made up your own singing schedule, singing whenever you wanted to, basically.
Well, I did.
Could you not sing if you wanted to not sing? Was that an option?
Sometimes I would.
Sure. Not an option for me. I was singing all the time, every time, every ship. I had to sing. Wasn't an option to not sing. Real singing waiter. Denied. All right. Not a singing waiter.
Who knew it would be so contentious?
Well, there's singing waiters, and there's not singing waiters.
Let's go to James in Hollywood.
Okay.
Hi, James.
Good morning. Happy Aprilingus, party people.
Right.
Well, to you, James.
To you as well. Although, I got to warn you, this is very treacherous waters you're swimming in right now if you're not truly a singing waiter. All right, were you a singing waiter?
Well, I worked at Michelli's.
Michelli's!
Okay. All right.
I did. And I think one of the things Ralph did not touch upon was that you develop a following amongst people. They come in just to see you perform.
That's true. I've heard that about performers at Michelli's.
Really?
You'll get fans who will come in.
So they'll say, what day do you work and what time? And they would plan their meal around you?
Absolutely. And there was a group of older women. I was in my 30s. And they were in their 70s. And three different times I got a $1,000 tip.
I'm listening.
Whoa. Nice.
That was the biggest tip I ever got.
Yeah.
What was the biggest tip they ever got? Huh?
No, it did not go like that.
What kind of music were you singing though?
Well, I saved up so much money
That's how I bought my new Bugatti.
Kind of took all the air out of the room, didn't it?
Yeah.
Does every time, by the way.
Not a singing waiter.
Not. Did we have none?
We had no singing waiters.
We had no singing waiters.
Sure. I am the only singing waiter.
Wow.
The cheese stands alone.
Who knew? Who knew we'd have singing waiter posers? As well as a surprise.
I will not stand for it.
I was not expecting that.
I mean, you put in the work, man, and they just come in like Johnny Come Lately. He's trying
right.
to glob onto some of the glory. Right?
Yeah.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Dude, you may finally achieve the altitude that you've been trying to get off this boat. What?
Wait, what?
I was thinking... I didn't say that.
What?
I was thinking
Ralph just fell off his chair.
That was a moment with Bean.
Every time...
Hey, we're going to talk about the greatest movie ever made. It is called Roar, and John Marshall lived through it. He'll explain what it's like living with lions in the wild. Coming up just after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. First, though, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday.
I was talking to John in the other room. He's here, and he mentioned that he got a haircut recently, and they cut it a little bit too short, right. And now he can see all his scars again from Roar.
All of his scars.
Oh, yes.
That the lions caused his head.
Yes.
That's
wow.
his real life.
That is that's a memory. That's a memory.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Very excited.
Kim Richards. Familiar with her?
Guilty.
Real Housewives of Beverly Hills? Well, she was guilty of boozing.
She's the one they're worried about being on drugs or whatever?
She was drunk at the Beverly Hills Hotel Polo Lounge last Thursday. Remember? And the cops had to drag her out of the woman's room because she wouldn't leave. And
oh,
she started kicking the cops.
Yeah.
Well, she is going to get all better now because she's going to sit down with... Any guesses?
Oprah.
Dr. Phil?
Dr. Phil.
Oh.
Well done, Bean. Look, if you're a reality show star and you've got a medical problem... You have to go to a reality show doctor.
Fake right. TV doctor doesn't have a license.
You can't go to a real doctor. Dr. Phil will help her out. She sat down with the TV shrink and she said, I was angry and frightened and scared. But none of this would have happened if I didn't drink, she told Dr. Phil. And so now...
And he said...
Are you addicted to drugs?
I just told you, I'm drunk. So,
You got a problem, lady.
She does. So it looks like he's going to get her on the way to mental health.
F you bitch.
That's a little rough.
That seems out of line. Ewan McGregor is reportedly in talks to play Lumiere in Disney's Beauty and the Beast. You know, they're making a live-action version of the very popular animated classic.
What's Lumiere?
Lumiere is be my guest, be my guest.
Oh, okay.
The candle.
Is an amber to the rest. There's some running, there's a singing, and I'm having with my breasts.
No, I don't know what the lyrics are after that song.
Pretty sure they're not that.
I guess I should. Being a father of a young daughter, I should know that song. But he was the candlestick, right?
Sure.
Ewan McGregor is going to play Lumiere. Stanley Tucci will be playing Cadenza, the grand piano. He's a new character, and Emma Watson is playing Belle. Dan Stevens of Downton Abbey is the Beast. Luke Evans, Gaston, and Ian McKellen will be Cogsworth, who is a clock. These are all the staff members of this prince, Kevin, who are cast a spell upon, and they become living inanimate objects.
I'm trying to flush that out of my brain from before. I don't think I need to... keep that there. I don't think I need this information at all for anything.
For this conversation you do. Mm. Can you hold on to it long enough for us just to have this conversation?
No.
Oh, well. Britney Spears!
You've done ecstasy, cocaine, crystal meth, acid, mushrooms, and marijuana.
That may be true. But she has just been honored by the Las Vegas Review-Journal newspaper. Honored for her Piece of Me concert residency at Planet Hollywood with two awards, Best of Las Vegas and Best Bachelorette Party. Well, there's no higher award I think you can get than the Las Vegas Review-Journal newspaper's best bachelorette.
We've been trying to get that our whole lives.
She used to be a star.
I didn't think this could get any worse, but apparently it knows no bottom.
She's got the best bachelorette party award.
That's
from
quite
a newspaper
award.
In Vegas.
That
was one last year, I think, by Hooters. I think by the Hooters. Got it last year. So, that's something else. And Motley Crue. Girls, girls, girls. Their farewell tour begins.
Haven't they been their farewell tour for about 20 years?
Yeah, pretty much they have. They've added 21 more dates.
They seem to be pretty serious.
21 more
dates. Pretty
serious
this time, though, right?
Right.
Yeah. The final North American run begins October the 5th in Hidalgo, Texas, then ends for good. No more after this. Three shows at the Staples Center here in Los Angeles on December the 28th, 30th, and 31st. That's right.
We got that, Allie.
This will be it. This is it. Here. When I say this is it, it really means this is
this
it.
This is it.
This is it. I mean, this is really
this
it.
Is it.
This is the final.
This is it.
This is,
okay. This is
the final curtain
the final
call. This is it. When I say this is it, it really means this is
this
it.
This is it.
But they made a tremendous production out of signing that paperwork publicly to say they promised none of them would ever perform together again after this stand, right?
Right.
Okay.
This is it.
It's the return of the crew.
You thought you'd never see him again. You were wrong. They're back.
Remember Screw the Crew? Remember your Screw the Crew campaign?
Yeah. Yeah, I do remember that.
You made Tommy Lee so furious he had to call in.
He called us and
said you guys were...
Called us some names.
Yes, yeah. Called us some names.
So you a slur for homosexuals, I think.
Yeah. We were
trying to stop them from getting back together one of the other previous reunion tours.
Right.
I mean, they didn't take
after
it.
After one of their other final
right,
tours,
exactly.
This was a comeback after one of the other goodbye tours.
They took it personally.
And Kevin Bean started Screw the Crew campaign, and Tommy Lee called up and said, you guys... He left a message that was...
Yeah, that we can't play anymore.
Can't play anymore.
Oh, I sure wish we could, because it was funny.
But we got... I mean, everybody got over that. We ended up having a good relationship with Tommy. Had him on the show a number of times, and it was fine.
Remember when you guys drove that boat together? You and Tommy, Bean? Remember you and Tommy were on the open seas driving the boat together?
I don't think that was the sex tape with Pam Anderson. That's not Bean. I don't think.
I thought it was Bean. Uh-oh. Sausage. Today's celebrity birthdays. That's from the sex tape. Pam Anderson says that about Tommy Lee.
She does, that's true.
Sausage?
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Sausage. Come on, you guys have
what?
That. You have that audio.
About his...
Yes.
No.
You have that audio.
No way. Uh-oh, sausage.
There we go.
That was said anywhere at one point in time.
It's a real thing. Amber Heard is 29 years old today.
Yeah,
I'm... So happy you guys keep calling me to talk to me about this.
I love her.
Have we tried calling him at all?
I believe we're trying to reach out to him, yes. How hard can that be? I don't know.
Define try. Is Dave like trying to get the phone off the cradle with both hands, just trying to lift it?
Well, we don't have
a team of people to help him dial.
No, we don't have time for
try it. Just do it. Just call him up.
But we don't have time for a little while. Later in the show, we'll get a hold of him. We have stuff to do.
We can do it right
here. We have a guy who has scars on his head from a lion. You're going to make him wait for Nick?
Nick has scars on his heart, Kevin.
That's bananas.
Well played.
From the Playboy Club, to Johnny Depp, everyone has hurt this young man. Amber Heard's 29 years old today. Seahawks' Marshawn Lynch is 29 years old. Daniel Johns, lead singer of Silverchair, 36 years old. Jeffrey Dean Morgan, loved him in Magic City and also the great movie The Watchmen. I don't know if you saw that Zack Snyder's film. He was a comedian in that, 49 years old. John Waters, 69 years old. And Jack Nicholson turned 78. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
How are you still alive, John Marshall? How are you here to be on the Kevin and Bean Show today? This is a miracle, sir.
I'm just very lucky.
Yes, very lucky indeed.
Oh, and actually, quick reflexes.
Yes.
Quick reflex.
That helps.
Tell us about, for people who don't know what Roar is about, because it came out in 1981.
Correct.
Explain to them what happens in this movie.
And it was just never released in America. It was released all over the world in 81.
Why not in America?
There were a lot of complications with it, and we thought that we would release it a couple years later, but then everybody kind of spread out and just it.
All right.
It been overlooked.
So now it's coming out. And all tell us what happens in this.
Well, so what it is it's a movie about a scientist who's studying the behavior of big cats in Africa. And so he lives over there with 150 lions and tigers in the house with him. And then he invites his family to come over to visit. But his family, which is Tippi Hedren, Melanie Griffith, me, and my brother Jerry, and we're all a real family. We lived with these lions in preparation for the movie. But so we arrive, and then Dad's on his way to the airport, and we arrive at the house. There's 150 lions. We don't know what to do with them. But we don't even know that you're not supposed to run from them, you're not supposed to show fear, and you're not supposed to play hide-and-seek. But the plot of the whole movie is that the family shows up, Dad isn't there, and they run from them. They play hide-and-seek to try to hide so they don't get bitten, and it's just a whole... I mean, it's like every... That's why people... So many... That's why the cast got hurt so much, because we were doing everything you should never do when we knew we shouldn't do it.
What... Did you see a red flag when Dad, who's the expert on lions, left... And then you guys were all there.
Well, no, he was just in the movie. He was on his way to the airport to pick us up. We just got confused on the time zones. Hmm. So we just arrived. We figured he'd show up eventually.
Dad wasn't trying to murder the family.
I don't know.
No, not on camera.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know that that's
all
the
right,
case.
So this movie, again, which we haven't been able to see, although it's currently screening at the Cine Family in Los Angeles, it opens up Friday at the Frida Cinema in Long Beach. This movie has a script, right, and has a storyline? It's not a documentary about your family living with these big cats, right?
Correct. There is a loose plot because there wasn't originally a script. But what we learned especially with 150 of them, the original intention was to rent lions and get about 10 rental lions, and then we would have had it more scripted.
That's a thing?
Yeah. You can
rent a
like
lion.
Like for children's parties, Kevin, you can have a lion come over.
It seems bad, but go ahead.
It's Hollywood.
Yeah.
But so they encouraged us to get all our own. So when we wound up with our own, and we weren't professional trainers, we didn't know what we were doing. So the animals had a tendency to change the script a lot as we went along.
The animals don't care about the script.
They didn't. They didn't read it, I don't think.
Yeah.
But they decided to do their own.
Why did you – I mean, whose idea was it when you got 20 lions and tigers and leopards and cougars and everything, and then 50? Who said, let's keep going, let's get more? How did it get to be so out of control with 150?
I think you had to be there. It was, but they were really, really cute.
We were
raising them in our home in Sherman Oaks, and I remember we probably had about 15 lion cubs that we had been raising. And then when they got too big, we'd send them out to the ranch, which is where we finally shot the movie, which is where Tippi has her nonprofit organization, Shambhala.
Tippi Hedren, of course, the famous actress from the Hitchcock movie, The Birds, and everything. She's your stepmother, right?
Yes.
And she still has that ranch? Does she still have livestock and big animals on that property?
Yes, she does. But she's got a law passed in Congress. I think it's called the Shambhala Law, to not breed animals for personal use. They are wild animals. People shouldn't be with them. That's what we learned from doing this.
Okay, and so that was the takeaway from your experience on Roar.
Yes,
was
that we shouldn't
maybe
have done
some, maybe some fences between us and the lions.
I feel like I could have saved you a lot of time and heartache. I mean, you can guess that's going to go south, right?
Yeah.
That's insane.
The second day of filming, first or second day of filming, my father got bitten all the way through the hand. And so then we...
So then did everybody go, okay, this is a bad idea?
No, we moved on to the next shot the
All
following
right.
day.
Okay.
And then then Jan de Bont, our DP, got 200 stitches in the head. That was 3 weeks later. So then I started, of course, calling for replacement DPs. I figured he was gone. And he stayed for the whole 5 years. He was back like a week later.
Five years?
Oh, yeah. It took...
That's unbelievable.
What?
How did
John?
You...
It was originally supposed to take 9 months and $3 million, and it took us 5 years and $17 million. But we never gave up.
Here's the line. Here's the line for the movie. No animals were harmed in the making of this movie. 70 members of the cast and crew were. 70.
I like the way that it used to be sold as a family film in Australia.
How could it possibly be a family film watching people getting eaten?
Only three on-camera bites. Two people get killed.
Let me ask you this, John.
These days... One thing, these days, if two or three people are even hurt, they go, this is cursed.
Yeah, they close down the set.
Yes. 70 people.
Oh, there won't be a Roar, too.
I would hope not.
So, John, I've seen photos. Of course, we mentioned Tippi Hedren, your stepmom. Her daughter, Melanie Griffith, I have seen photos of her growing up, and it looks like in these pictures that I've seen that she's a teenager.
She's sleeping in beds with full-grown lions. Did she ever get bit? Did she ever get bit or scratched or hurt?
Yes, she did. She it was probably about the fourth year in, and a lioness came from behind her and clawed her face. Fortunately, really fortunately, missed her eye, but got claws on her forehead and underneath her eye. And so, you know, anytime you get bitten in the face or is clawed in the face, you immediately go to a plastic surgeon, not the hospital.
Yeah.
So, right. Oh, wow. You know, you can't really, I don't think there's any noticeable scars whatsoever. So.
Well, going back to what Bean said about your childhood, she's in bed with full-grown lions. You actually took lions out on walks to pick up on girls. That was like your puppy.
Well, actually, it was a tiger.
It was a tiger.
It was a tiger. Don't be absurd, Allie.
I know. That was crazy. But that was normal to you.
Oh, I knew it wasn't real normal because I was like the cool kid in high school.
Okay.
You know, people would want to come over to the house. And
because they thought you were crazy.
Oh, no. They thought we were cool. But now in hindsight, maybe they did think I was crazy. They just were polite about it.
Did you just treat these cats as pets? Was it for you just like having a cat or a dog would be for the rest of us?
No, because we knew what we were dealing with.
Well, then why was she sleeping in a bed with a lion?
Well, because that's how you develop trust with them.
No!
Yes, it is. You have to expose your neck. They know that they can kill you at any time, day or night. And, well, that's what we thought at the time. We thought it was a really good idea. And, by the way, none of us got killed, and none of us got bitten in our sleep.
Good point.
I wouldn't suggest that anybody else do it, but it was another time.
So if you – look, we're, again, not suggesting anybody do this, but if you had a lion cub and raised it like a house pet and bonded with it and showed love and everything, would you generally be reasonably safe with that animal, or is it still a wild animal and might just snap and kill you for the fun of it one day?
It's always going to be a wild animal, and it's not if you're going to get bitten, it's when, if you choose to live with animals like that.
And I think that's Tippi's whole takeaway with –
which is why she's not promoting the film is one of the reasons is because this is absolutely everything that is what Tippi is promoting that you shouldn't do.
Yeah.
So I think she doesn't want to see a bunch of people go trying to jump into lion cages and do this kind of stuff or trying to buy, you know, tiger cubs from, you know, wherever, because there are a lot of illegal animals that are available.
Absolutely. All right. Actor John Marshall is with us here on The Kevin Bean Show. Again, the film is called Roar. It's currently showing at the CineFamily in Los Angeles. It's the strangest movie ever made. It's also opening in Long Beach at the Frida Cinema on Friday. Is there going to be some sort of home DVD release for the rest of us to see
Yeah. It's coming out on Blu-ray on, I think, October 6th from Olive Films.
And take my money now, John. Take my money now. All right. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, true or false, John, you once had your head inside a lion's mouth for nearly 20 minutes.
True.
We all will hear that story when we return right after this on K-Rock. Look, we're all lucky to be here, but no one is luckier to be here than our guest, John Marshall, in studio with us here on The Kevin and Bean Show. He is an actor in a film called Roar, which may be the greatest movie ever made. Here's the quote that you gave, John, to the New York Post. Dad was an effing a-hole to do this to his family. So I guess if he's your dad and he says, hey, you're going to live in this place with, 150 tigers and lions, I guess you kind of can't say no because you're a kid, right?
I guess I could have. I think they misquoted me.
They did.
I think that might have been what everybody felt sometimes.
Right.
But it was I would not do it to my children. I wouldn't even – I mean, never.
I'm great. I'm glad to hear that.
Are you do you still have some anger?
Not angry.
Because it's so long ago.
Yeah, it was a long time ago, and I have great memories of it. But I also do, especially recently with all the press and stuff, I usually wouldn't watch this film more than twice a year, and I would usually have nightmares for a day or two. And then when I started doing this a lot with all this press, because I got caught off guard, I didn't know this was all going to happen.
So
I had nightmares for, like a week. But I finally started sleeping, and now I'm desensitized, and it's nothing but fond memories.
All right, before the break.
Because everybody lived. Nobody died.
Yeah, but okay.
Miraculously.
Before the break, Bean asked you about having your head in a lion's mouth for 20 minutes.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
it was... it wasn't the lion's fault, but it was this other guy's fault. And as it turns out, it was his first day at work. But I had gone out there, and he was walking a full-grown male lion, a Tongaroo, who was about 495 pounds. And he was yanking on his chain to try to get him to walk. And I said, well, that's not the proper way to walk a lion. I said, you have to keep constant pressure and hard pressure and say, come here, come here. So he thinks you're stronger than them. And then you'll finally come. And then you don't piss him off. So I knew this guy didn't know what he's doing. So I was walking the lion up front to put him back in his house. And he playfully tripped me. And then he jumped on my legs because they're wild animals.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have been fine. Because he was just, he had me pinned down, and then he was moving up more towards my stomach. So.
Okay, at that point, I'm not thinking I'd be fine. I'd be panicked.
Oh, no, we were always on the ground. We were sleeping with him, laying around with him, goofing around with him, so I was still fine.
Okay.
But he
kept... How old are you at this point, John?
Probably 19, maybe 20.
Okay. 19, you got a lion now on your stomach.
Yes. And so, but I kind of did want him because he was creeping up my body, so I didn't want to. I wanted to keep him away from my head because I couldn't then wouldn't then be able to see him or breathe. And so I was smacking him in the nose, trying to piss him off enough that he'd not want to be there anymore. But what happened was, and this is when I was the first real bad bite, where we learned a lot about the animals in this specific case, is because he got possessive over me. So it's like if you went to take a bone away from your dog or something away from your pit bull that that he shouldn't have,
right.
You wouldn't just go casually walk over and take it. You would scare the dog and then take it away from him or something,
okay.
Yell at him. But so this guy just kept wandering over. Well, he caused the lion to get possessive. And when a lion's possessive, it's something like a switch goes off in their brain, and they no longer want anybody to have that. That's theirs.
So in this case, that is you.
Correct.
So you're
his
correct.
Chew toy, basically.
Right. So and he's doing what he was supposed to do. He's a wild lion. So I kept hitting him, and then he moved further and further up, and I couldn't. I put my arm in his mouth because if you can get your arm behind his canines, he can't bite you real bad.
Sure.
Everybody, please make a note of that in case you're ever in this situation.
Yeah, okay. That's very important.
Good tip.
Yeah. Avoid the big ones and just get to the back little ones.
All right.
But so then I looked up at one point when this guy then went and got more help. And I saw a little bit of blood on his face, and I thought it was from me hitting his canine. But so it was fine for a couple minutes. But then these six guys came in with aluminum and plywood coming in, charging at him and really loud. And he was like going, really loud, scary, and just expanding his lungs.
And your head is still in his mouth.
Well, I mean, I didn't really notice when I was getting bitten. Head wounds don't you don't feel them that much usually. But it was mostly that I couldn't breathe.
Do you hear yourself?
Insane.
That was in a lion's
mouth. Again,
you're an
you'd
insane
have to
human
be there.
Being.
You have to be there,
Allie.
While
on.
That's happening, you're not scared. You're not scared because you've come to know them, you love them, whatever.
Well, I don't know that scared had a chance to come in. I just really would have...
20 minutes!
Well, it was 25.
Okay, so at the 20-minute mark, don't you get scared?
No, because I figured if these guys would just go away, this lion would eventually get bored, and then he'd get up and walk away.
So it's not the lions at all; it's the people.
Yeah.
Okay. So are you trying to yell at them from inside the lion's mouth to leave?
Well,
you alone?
It wasn't inside. I mean, it was his mane, and you know. So I'm trying to I didn't get bitten. I got bitten at the top of the head, and so I was trying to say that I did yell at one point. I said, "I'm fine." But then finally, on about the sixth time they charged at the lion, he moved about 3 feet, and then he came back to get me, and then they said, dive into the lake. There was a lake about 15 feet away, so I just went, and I dove into the lake, and the lion started coming after me, and they went in and cut him. But I didn't even know I wasn't in pain. So I went into the office, and I just kind of sat on the couch because I was kind of out of breath. But I had a really nice Gullwing Mercedes I wouldn't let anybody drive, so I... wanted to drive myself, but they wouldn't let me.
What is
how many stitches,
on?
John?
56.
56 stitches in your head.
And he didn't want to go to the hospital.
Well, no.
You didn't even feel it, you said.
No, I think you go into shock a little bit.
Yeah, was it like adrenaline?
Yeah. And also, as I was I was more concerned about suffocating than I was about getting bitten.
John, well, I think both are bad.
Is that incident you just described in the movie?
No. That wasn't on a filming day. But there are Dad gets bitten in the hand in the beginning of the movie. He got bitten really badly in the leg with a blood-curdling scream, but I took it out of the cut in 81, and then it wound up in the German version, so I'm trying to get
it. Of course, the Germans put that in.
So I'm trying to get it back from Germany. I want to cut it into the version that comes out on Blu-ray.
Hell yeah.
Because now that this all seems to be marketed about the injuries, and now that I've got 40 years of distance since we started filming, everything's changed, so I'm going to put anything bloody, bad. I mean, whatever it is, it's in
this
dad, film that we're...
Sorry, Bean.
Excuse me, Allie. This film that we're talking about is called Roar, and again, coming out on DVD and Blu-ray in October. I have a question, but Allie, you go first.
Your dad was pretty unsympathetic towards things happening, from what I gather. he would rather the scene play out than yell cut.
Yes, because he didn't want to miss any good moments. But so and everybody was very – he was very, very, very intense. He had to be. Because he was the head alpha lion. Mm-hmm. So practically, I was the one that stood up to him the most. So every time I would just, you know, I could do something stupid and blow the take. But I was always.
But he would bite you in the head.
Well, he would attempt to, but I was the only one that could get him to back down. But Tippi would always try to get in scenes with me because she knew I would stand up for her and I would protect her and I would break character and hit the lion in the nose if he was going to do something. And I'd get yelled at, but
get yelled at because you were protecting yourself and Tippi.
Yes.
What's going on in your family?
Why did your dad hate you?
I ruined the take.
Why did your dad hate you so much?
I don't think he hated us. I think he just we were replaceable, and he felt we would never die, and he got bitten all the time.
Replaceable, Kevin. You know that.
I think he liked getting bitten. That was the joke at the ranch, because he must have gotten bitten at least 8 or 10. I mean, and I don't count a bite just a bite. It is only when you have to go to the hospital. If I could fix you with butterfly bandages and gauze, then that didn't count.
I call a scratch a bite.
Yeah, right?
If I'm in with a lion,
you would have been one of those guys that only made it for a day or two in the movie then.
That's okay with me, though. I don't want to be the star of this movie.
I had one guy that only worked 2 hours on the movie, and he saw Jan get bitten. And
he's like, not for me.
Peace out. Yeah.
Hey, John, when you feed these big cats, I assume you had some sort of way to get meat or whatever it is they wanted. Did you try to keep them fairly sated so they wouldn't look at you as food?
Well, they don't look at you as food. I mean, and our animals, we would never starve an animal. So they were always well-fed and well-cared for. But they don't bite people because they're hungry. They bite people because they're wild animals, and that's what they're supposed to do in life.
Are they playing when they do that, or are they?
Very often they are.
Huh. I'm out.
All right, we're almost out of time.
I don't even know where to go.
What does this quote mean from you, Mr. Marshall? It was amazing to live through that. I should have died many times, but I kind of want to do it again.
Oh, I don't know that I'd want to kind of do a movie again, but I do really like the animals.
You miss being around the cats.
Yeah. I mean, I had some very special ones. I mean, I raised a Nikki, my baby tiger, from probably 5 pounds to 700 pounds. And, you know, he was amazing. It's and to have such a great rapport with an animal with such power that can and don't get me wrong, these things can kill any of us at any time.
In a second,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, one swipe of the hand so it was
quite
amazing.
That to me means bad pet. That's a bad. If
and
it
I think
kill me.
You bring up a good point, which is the reason for the Wildlife Learning Center, which is the reason for Shambhala. Is these are not pets. Monkeys,
not
tigers,
pets.
Alligators. People, for some reason, even now, think, oh, I want a little, you know, capuchin monkey. That'll be cute. I'll put a vest on him. No, no. These are not
So don't do that?
Pets. Not
wild animals.
No.
They're wild animals. Leave them be.
Yes.
Says John Marshall, who was in this movie for 5 years.
Well, we learned a lot.
Yes.
The website is called RoarTheMovie.com. You can see the film at the Cine Family in Los Angeles through the 29th and this Friday at the Frida Cinema in Long Beach. And we can't wait to see it on DVD and Blu-ray in October. John, a real pleasure to meet you. Congratulations on on surviving the project.
Staying alive.
Yeah. And staying alive all these years and coming in and sharing your story with us. It was a lot of fun, sir.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations to Chad. Is it Bean? Could that possibly be his name? Nope. Drew.
Chad Brewster, I think it says.
Brewster.
Happening right now.
Just got tickets in the third row for Mumford and Sons.
Why can't you read? What's happening?
It's a long story. The mouse was over the
Burbank
word. I couldn't see. Sorry.
Okay. Hey, David King of Mexico.
Yes. Yeah. That's my mic, dude.
What?
Just move on like nothing happened.
Why? Is Kevin hating on you this week so much?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why he hates happiness.
I'll tell you where it started.
I'll tell
you where it started.
All right, go ahead.
It started from Dave talking about all the time Marnie the dog.
Mm-hmm. What's wrong with that? I wasn't asking you to follow Marnie the dog.
No, but you
I
talked about Marnie the dog a lot.
Well, you've had a lot of Marnie in your life lately, Dave.
Lately,
you guys partied at Coachella.
Hold on. They didn't party.
I met her.
I saw a picture of Dave with Marnie
at
Coachella.
Right, that's not partying.
Yeah, I met her and took a picture with her. two times, 2 days out of three at Coachella, which is fun.
And then you invited her to come by K-Rock.
And she did.
And she came
you,
by K-Rock.
Yeah, and you wouldn't believe how happy that made everyone here. I mean, our program director, Mr. Weatherby, got on the floor to take a picture with Marnie. When do you see Mr. Weatherby getting on the floor?
That doesn't
for
happen
for anybody.
Often. Marnie so, is a Shih Tzu who has a tongue that sticks out and is it makes a comical face.
Short bus.
Yeah, and she's so cute when she walks. You should see it. It's you know, okay. just look at the picture that we posted on Kevin and Bean.
All right, take
it's
it easy.
It's our biggest picture ever.
All right, take it easy.
Okay, so right. Marnie the dog, I guess I sort of get, I mean, Marnie's pretty famous, but I think that what happened that has Kevin all riled up is that he found out that Marnie is just the tip of the iceberg, because apparently there are a ton of these internet celebrity animals that you follow, and I guess the question is a legitimate one, which is how can you care this much about other people's pets online?
Bean, do you follow any pets?
No, I don't follow a single non-human.
Any pets?
No.
On any social media,
Chip,
no.
Any pets?
Hell no.
Same.
Listen, and that's fine. But me, when I follow quite a lot of people, so whenever this animal, whichever animal it is, comes up with a picture, it makes me happy for a second, and I move on.
Because the animal
that's
posts it?
That's it. No.
Yeah.
No.
Who else do you follow?
What? Dogs
Tell
or
me
cats?
About, dogs or cats. Tell me about Jif Pom.
Oh, Jif Pom's cool. It's a little Pomeranian that's shaved, and he has this big old head. It's kind of like Boo, but not the same, because Boo's, like, cute because he's small. And that's one thing. I don't even follow Boo on Instagram.
Yeah. Why?
Yeah, because why would you?
Because there's a long backstory for Boo. But
I want to hear it.
Did you guys no have a fight?
No, time. But Jif Pom's just this cool little Pomeranian that's, you know, it's cute.
By the way, Marnie the dog has 1.3 million followers. Jif Pom
right.
has 1.1 million.
That's right.
Barkley Sir Charles.
A cool French bulldog from Seattle.
Okay.
Yeah. So I like Seattle. I like the animal's cool.
But no offense, Dave, because I like bulldogs too. But I mean, there are a million French bulldogs out there.
Are there French bulldogs that are hanging out with the Seattle Seahawks? No. You know,
that's a tough question to answer.
I'm just saying, it's a cute little animal.
Tell
that
me about,
makes me happy.
Tell me about Daily Dougie.
Daily Dougie. It's another Shih Tzu who has his face is really furry, so it's kind of different than Marnie. Where Marnie's cute with the tongue, this one has a big furry face.
Tell
with
me about
eyeballs.
Norbert the dog.
Oh, Norbert's new. I just met Norbert because he has a Kickstarter with Lil Bub the cat.
Oh and, my god!
We're gonna get to the cats in a minute.
Yeah.
Tell
yeah.
me about so, Pirate Pug Jack.
Dude, Pirate Pug Jack, come on, Kevin. He has one eye closed and his tongue like sticks out like almost to the floor.
Tell me about Huxley.
Huxley's a pug from Japan.
You're not just making up animals here. These are
no,
all
these are,
these
true,
are
yeah.
this verified are... animals that Dave follows on social media.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Let's move on to cats. Tell me about I Am Lil Bub.
Lil Bub is the man. Lil Bub's a little messed up cat that is probably the most famous cat other than Grumpy Cat. It might even be bigger than Grumpy. No, not bigger,
no.
But it's, you know, like he's going to be at CatCon LA, and it's
sure.
almost sold out. So I can't wait to go meet Lil Bub.
Dave, what is CatCon?
I want to be as far from that as I possibly could
why
be.
Why are you so attracted to damaged pets?
I don't
like,
know.
Why are so many Listen. Of the ones that you follow short bus pets?
I don't know.
Tell me about Hamilton the hipster cat.
I just found out about Hamilton the other day. This cat has a freaking mustache in his... First.
Tell me about Disneyland
awesome.
Cats.
Oh, the cats of Disneyland? Like, see, again, this is the whole passhole thing. When you go to Disneyland, you see random cats, and someone created an Instagram account, so I follow those.
They're actual cats?
Actual cats. They're feral
but
cats.
Why?
Yeah.
Why
yeah.
do you care about cats that live at Disneyland?
I don't really. It's just kind of funny to see these cats in random Disneyland spots. And, you know, I do see the cats from time to time, so it's just something I follow. Listen, it's a second out of my feed of crap. That, you know, Kevin's posting or Chip posting, you know.
Let's talk to Brody real quick. He's on line one in Chino. He wants to weigh in. Apparently, he's also following some animals, Kevin.
Hey, Brody.
Hi, yeah, I feel bad. I also follow Grumpy Cat, but the best one is Sad Chihuahua.
Now, who's Sad Chihuahua?
What's Sad Chihuahua? Yeah.
It's hilarious. You know what? He's right. I see it for 1 second, I smile, and I move on.
How many pets do you follow?
Just those two. I mean, I'm still a little bit manly.
No.
All right, no. So Kevin, is that acceptable if he only follows Grumpy Cat and Sad Chihuahua?
No.
Look, I don't understand where the hate's coming from, because look, it's 1 second on my feed, and you don't see it. you know.
But you talk about it.
So what?
And I'm near you.
You talk about stupid soccer. No one cares about soccer. People care about these animals.
Dave, do
more
you...
people care about soccer or more people care about Pirate Pug Jack?
Wow, where? In America or the world? Because, listen, I'm saying Little Bub does good stuff for cat adoption, and so does Marnie the dog for older animals. And, Bean, you would appreciate that.
I'm all for, you know, animals being taken care of, of course. Yeah.
Basically, that's all they're doing is raising awareness for these older, you know, adopted
senior
animals.
Pets,
yeah.
Sure.
So what's wrong with that? And that's why I want to know, why does Kevin hate?
I think it's when you walk in the morning and how do you greet us? What do you say?
Oh, this morning I said good morning.
Yeah.
But that's because I know you hate it. So that's just me being a dick.
You said good morning.
That's just me being a dick to you guys because it's funny and it morning. Annoys you.
You got a problem with that. You can go yourself.
Thank you
right,
for the call,
Kevin.
Brody.
So I want to know, why do you hate? Why do you hate animals, Kevin?
I love animals.
Do
I don't follow any of them on social media because they're not posting.
So you follow what? The Kings?
Yes.
The Kings aren't posting.
Yes, they are.
No, they're not.
That's a ridiculous thing to say. No, I follow the actual Kings as well. You know what they are? They're people.
No, it's an intern posting about updates about a team. And how does that bring joy into your life?
It's an update about a sports team I love.
Listen, if you were following Jarrett Stoll, then I would be down with that too because he's partying.
I am, by the way.
And Drew Doughty, by the way. Yeah.
Really upset.
But I'm not following I Am Lil Bub.
You should.
I Am Lil Bub isn't posting anything.
No,
because I Am Lil Bub is not.
Is, and I'm following him because I appreciate the cat. Okay. And I appreciate what he's trying to do for, you know, cat adoption and strays and everything like that.
Okay.
Why do you hate? Why? Why am I the bad guy?
I don't know why you're the bad guy, but you are.
You
There's
are.
No question of it.
Hey, Ralph Garman is here. Almost. Time for the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday morning. And then apparently, Ralph, because you brought up Amber Heard's birthday, apparently we got a hold of Nick, and we are going to catch up with him right after the top of the hour.
Happy
see how he's
birthday,
celebrating.
Amber Heard! I'm going to jump out of a cake in her house. She doesn't know it yet, though.
Nick seems like the kind of fan who would celebrate his favorite actress's birthday, doesn't he?
Hell to
yeah. Like he would do something for her, I would think. So we'll find out what
Ralph,
that is.
Ralph, did you hear the King of Mexico there and talking about following pets?
It took all I had not to come in here with a flamethrower and burn this place to the ground.
You would have done the right thing.
Because I like what the cat does for cat adoption. Cat's not doing anything for anybody. Cat's licking itself and pooping in somebody's shoe.
You follow people. How's that any different?
You follow the Kings. The Kings aren't really tweeting that.
Yeah, they are.
But, so, why am I bad?
It's a good question. We don't have time.
What's going on? Seriously.
We're damaged goods. That's what's going on.
It's a mess. Sure's a mess. Hey, this is good news. Dave Grohl's got a new side project called the Teenage Time Killers. Kind of a super group. Here's the lineup. It's Dave, Queens of the Stone Ages, Nick Oliveri, Corey Taylor from Slipknot, from Alkaline Trio and Sometimes Blink, Matt Skiba. Randy Blythe of Lamb of God sings lead on the first single of this new album, Hung Out to Dry. The album has 20 rather short songs on it. Teenage Time Killers' debut album will be released on July the 31st. The title of their very first album, Greatest Hits Volume 1. That's why we love Dave.
Wouldn't you like to see a complete list of every musician that he has ever worked with?
There's not enough paper.
It just seems like it would be endless.
He's worked with everybody.
He's the best.
I love his wide-ranging love of music, too. He liked everything from country to pop to jazz to rock to you name it. And he has such wide-ranging appreciation for all different kinds of music. It's rare.
Yeah.
Certainly in this day and age where everyone seems to have a niche. He seems to be a guy who's open to anything good.
He's nicheless.
Yes, Kevin.
You might say if you were bad.
He's nicheless. If nicheless was a word, maybe you would say that.
Right. Kevin, I've had it.
Yeah, me too, Rodney. I'm with you, buddy. You know you and me.
because thieves. While we're talking about famous animals and Dave's love for them, sad news. Paris Hilton's first dog, Tinkerbell, has passed.
My goodness.
Yeah. That's a little tiny chihuahua she used to take with her every day. Back in the heyday, the Paris Hilton heyday. You know, what's that? The Real World? No. What was that show she had with the...
Simple Life.
Simple Life, right. You'd see her with Tinkerbell all the time. Tinkerbell would have little sunglasses and things on. Yeah, Tinkerbell's in a better place now than when it was being carried by Paris Hilton in a purse with little dog sunglasses on.
Obviously.
Here's what Paris Hilton had to tweet about her her friend. I love you, Tinky. You are a legend. All right.
Jim Rome wrote her...
Tinkerbell, legend, chihuahua, tiny little dome, little dog sunglasses on it. Good look. It's good luck for Tinkerbell.
King of Mexico still get a follower?
Tinkerbell, you are a legend. We'll never be the same without you, Tinkerbell. Tinkerbell running at Santa Anita this weekend.
Nope.
Can't wait.
Super sad.
Yeah, it is super sad. I'm sorry, Rodney. My bad. Shouldn't make light about Tinkerbell's passing.
Really sad.
Tinkerbell, right. Awesome. Great dog. Could eat her own weight. One sitting. Voracious appetite. Now I'm done. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Jack Nicholson, 78 years old today. Director John Waters, 69. Any of you guys Waters fans? Any of you guys, did you enjoy the Pink Flamingos or the...
I like his later work, Morris. Earlier stuff was too gross for me, but
I
loved...
You didn't like Divinal Eating Poop?
No.
That wasn't you? That
was too much for
Edie
me.
The Egg Lady wasn't for you?
Not for me. We've had Mr. Waters on the show a few times in recent years, and he's a fascinating, intelligent, hilarious guy. I enjoy him very much.
I enjoy his work, too. Hairspray, Crybaby.
Yeah, good movies.
Those years, good stuff.
Rest in peace.
He's not dead.
He's
celebrating
about?
His 69th birthday today, Rodney. sadly, Waters says these days can't get a movie made. Can't do it.
Even he can't.
Can't raise the funds independently or even with a studio. No one's interested. No one wants to see him work anymore. So.
Sorry, kids.
No more John Waters movies for you. Actor Jeffrey Dean Morgan, who I love almost too much. He's 49 years old today. He at one point lived in my neighborhood. And I would make a point of walking by, just kind of hoping.
Really? Just to glance into his...
No, just hoping one day he'd be out playing a little ball in the front yard or something, working on his motorcycle or something, and I'd start up a conversation. Yo!
And you guys would become friends.
JDM! Yeah, we're neighbors, buddy. And we'd have crack a beer together, start laughing, light up a few smokes, gets our cigars out.
What do you...
We'd be buddies. We'd be pals. We would be great pals.
I think that would be a fascinating phone topic one day, Ralph. People who schemed to become friends with celebrities.
That would be a fascinating
phone topic. Like they saw, hey, Steve Martin eats at that place every Sunday. I'm going to go start eating at that place every Sunday and maybe get to know him, or whatever the story might be.
We'll just strike up a conversation and we'll hit it off. I think Jeffrey Dean Morgan and I would really hit it off.
I feel that way about Mel Brooks and I.
Like if he only knew you, he would love you.
Totally.
Yes. I think we're cut from the same jib.
All right.
Jib.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah,
either.
There
it is.
But whatever it is, there's two big pieces of it missing that look like me and Jeffrey Dean Morgan. he's 49 years old today. Daniel Johns from Silverchair is 36. Seahawks running back Marshawn Lynch celebrates his 29th birthday. And speaking of wanting to get close to your favorite celebrities, Amber Heard, the actress Amber Heard, is 29 years old.
I love her. She is pretty much my favorite actress. I wrote an entire screenplay about her. I'm on page 791 now. It's almost halfway done.
Look, Nick might surprise us. We're going to talk to him in 5 minutes. Maybe he's done with that.
Yeah,
there's a good chance of that.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Speaking of Mumford & Sons, how about tickets all day long today on K-Rock, including next hour in the third row to see their show coming up at the Fabulous Forum on August the 17th. Tickets are on sale Friday morning at 10 a.m. So third row tickets today on K-Rock, and then tomorrow second row tickets, and then front row seats on Friday. We have got the hookup for you. What? Why are you laughing? What's so funny?
Just Allie's funny. Just, that's all. Just,
all right. Hey, Allie, it's been fun. It sounds like you're about to get fired. That's not where I'm going with this. It's been fun having you on the show the last few weeks because we keep getting to introduce you to members of the Kevin and Bean family that you've not met before.
That and, I always thought were fake. Well, that I thought were bits.
Nick is very much a real man, and he is on the phone right
now. Of course I am.
Yes, he is.
Hi, Nick.
How are you, man?
Hi. What's up?
Why do you sound so defensive?
Wow. Why are you chap-assed already, Nick? Come on.
Why like chap-assed?
Yeah, buddy. Yeah. Come on. We're all pals.
I thought you would be excited if you got a call from Dave saying, hey, Kevin and me want to talk to you on the radio. I thought that would be good news for you.
How are you guys? It's really good to talk to you again.
Are you being arrested right now?
What's happening where you're living, Nick?
I'm at a Starbucks right now. I'm at a parking lot. I'm working on my laptop. I'm stepped outside to talk to you guys.
Oh, that's very nice. Are you working on your screenplay?
I'm working on a screenplay. I have a couple of projects, but I'm working on something really special. Can you just say what I've been doing, please?
Sure, yeah.
That's what we're asking.
You know what I'm talking about by now, don't you? Read my emails.
What kind of code is going on here? Just tell us what you're doing.
Did someone have a gun to your head?
I've been writing a legitimately real screenplay to a sequel to the Harry Canyon segment of Heavy Metal.
I don't know what you're saying.
No. You guys seen the movie Heavy Metal?
Yes. Heavy Metal, yeah, yes. I'm familiar with Heavy Metal, yeah.
I am writing a sequel to the Harry Canyon segment about the red-haired girl coming back to life.
And is that going to be played by Amber Heard?
Amber Heard. I want Amber Heard in it, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, but do you own those rights or those characters? No. Are you allowed to develop a screenplay with that material?
I've been talking to Susan Zellman, the lady who voiced the character on Twitter.
Okay, well, that's as good.
That's a step in the right direction.
Well, you know, almost always the character rights revert back to the voice actors.
That may or may not be on Twitter.
Let me do this. I've been through so much hell over the Playboy Club, and I really want an episode. I did everything I could. You have no idea how much
Wait.
I suffered to do this.
Wait, did you start talking about the Playboy Club again?
I love that show, too, so I get it.
It hurt me so bad.
Right, so you decided to dive into a property that you don't own and develop a sequel for that instead.
Well, I'm taking my chances. I'm taking my chances with this.
Okay.
That's why I'm writing a Batman movie. I'm just going to take my chances with it, see what happens.
Look. The number one thing the number one thing you need is talent. But the number two thing you need is passion, right? If you're going to make it in this industry, Ralph. And you have to give Nick a lot of credit for the amount of passion and follow through.
Bean's trying to give you a compliment. You can't let him finish?
But my fear is that Nick is setting himself up for failure by tilting at windmills that are a little bit out of his reach at this point in his career.
So what's your advice for Nick? Ralph, you've been in the industry for a long time. What should he be doing right now if he wants to make his mark on the business?
He should write a very small, very affordable, very filmable, small personal project that he could do with a phone or with a
I have something in mind with that too.
His emails are 10,000 words each. How does he do something small?
Something easily producible that doesn't involve someone else's product or characters.
I do have a backup thing as well.
Okay.
Well, stop backing that. Don't take it off the backup and put it in the front up.
What's the backup plan?
Guys, this is amazing. I love it. I love what I'm writing. I really believe in this.
Okay.
I really do.
Okay.
And can I tell you, I chose this character because I saw Heavy Metal as a child. Like in elementary school on cable,
okay, but,
and I saw that segment, and that segment was really devastating to watch.
Okay, right. But you can't call dibs because you saw it when you were a kid.
But Nick, it's so weird that you would take something that doesn't belong to you and write something for it. Like, what's the best that can happen? They'll go, "Oh yeah, we love this. Let's do it."
Well, the best that can happen is you put it up online as fan fiction, and somebody goes, "Hey, that's a talented writer." Maybe there's an advantage there.
But, Bean, you've read Nick's emails.
Look, I don't know, man. He won't show us any of the good stuff. He's keeping the screenplays pretty close to his chest, you guys. All we see is the emails about the screenplays. We don't actually get to see the real work. But, Nick, so are you working at all in another job, or do you get up every day and consider yourself a writer and go to Starbucks and work on your laptop all day long?
I'm taking a class.
In?
Screenwriting class.
Screenwriting?
I'm doing work on the side. I have a little side job. It's not very good, but like.
What are you doing? When we met you, you were a sign holder at a cell phone store. What are you doing now?
I've just been doing like assistant work.
Assistant.
Assistant.
You're assisting someone.
Yeah.
This person would be.
The barista?
No.
What kind of work does the person you're assisting do?
Well, it doesn't even matter. I've just been writing this, and it's like I'm gonna take my chances with it because I'm gonna do it. I can do this. I really believe in it.
I believe it. I think Nick, you can too.
Nick, is your voice getting higher?
What?
Is your voice getting higher?
Sorry.
Plus, you need a new phone.
Yeah. Why are you on Harvey Levin's phone?
Your phone sucks.
All right. Listen, Nick, we're almost out of time.
You know that, right?
Let me ask you two more things real quick, Nick, because we're almost out of time. First of all, it's Amber Heard's birthday. How are you celebrating that today?
I wish I could just write something on Twitter, which is not on Twitter. That's very frustrating.
Nick, Bean just asked you a direct question. How are you celebrating her birthday today?
I will do something to fight for the Playboy Club. How about that?
Okay. All right.
I just want those episodes.
Here's the thing. Playboy Club was a TV show a long time ago, and they aired. And they have four episodes that didn't air.
There's no closure. I get it.
Okay, but when was that?
It was like 4 years ago.
Yes.
Yeah.
In fairness to Nick, What's Happening is coming out on DVD.
Great point.
Couldn't they put the Playboy Club in its entirety out on DVD?
Everything that you're passionate about is impossible. Like, you're picking terrible things.
I just really want to fly, guys. I'm going to jump off this building and flap my wings really hard.
You really don't think that a sequel to that story wouldn't be awesome?
It would be awesome, Nick, but you're not in a position to make that happen.
You keep doing what you're doing, Nick.
Why do you guys not like me?
We do like you.
I like you so much. I want you to succeed at something.
Yes,
and
very
the
much.
Odds are much more in your favor if you do an original piece of work.
I do have original stuff as well. This is not the only thing I'm doing, but this just caught fire for me. It's just like I felt like in my heart this is the right thing to do.
Well then, by all means, like, go with your heart.
I just strongly feel this story can win the right over the people with the rights.
You're right. Good enough story. They're going to go, that's awesome. Let's do
it. That's right. Got to do it. Okay.
All right. Well, look, stranger things have happened.
Hey, I hope that all works out for you, Nick. You know, we were just thinking about you because of Amber's birthday. We just wanted to check in and say hi.
Yes, and if Amber's listening, I hope Amber's listening. I want to tell her how she's the greatest actress I've ever seen.
Yes.
She's the greatest actress I've ever seen, and she means the world to me.
Ralph, didn't you say you believe she's in Australia with her husband right now?
She is, yeah.
It's fine. As long as this is her in some way or form.
What?
Okay. At some point.
Right.
All right.
She'll come back to the States.
We're going to leave it there because that's what champions do. Nick, we love you, man. It's always great to catch up with you, sir.
I love you guys, too, but this is a complicated relationship.
It is.
Yes, it is.
Follow your bliss, Nick.
Bye-bye, Nick.
I'm going to do this. Bye.
All right, man. Good luck.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Woo!
We are just damaged. Every one of us is damaged.
If I'm on the dance floor and some bitch says, shut up and dance with me, I'm like, see you later, lady, with your attitude.
I don't think that's true. I think you're dancing with her.
No, I'm not. I don't like her attitude. What kind of language is that on the dance floor? Shut up and dance with me. You shut up and...
Wow.
Right here.
Wow.
You can't say that. Nobody can see it.
I meant it. I'm here to represent it.
All right.
What kind of talk is that? Well, what's wrong with this girl when she says, shut up and dance with me? That's
just
rude.
She knows what she wants.
That's rude.
She wants to dance.
That's rude.
That is just rude.
But what if she is just trying to dance, get her party on, have a great time, and the guy just blah, 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 blah.
Ew,
she just wants
to talk about just a feeling.
Yeah, she just wants a few minutes
guys do.
Cutting loose.
We're so bad with always wanting to talk about our feelings.
Yes,
when the girls just
want
to party and have sex. I'm saying there's a way you can handle it. There's like, let's talk about this later. For now, let's enjoy our time on the dance floor.
That doesn't get results.
Shut up and dance.
Right.
I don't want anybody to say shut up.
That's a tough song.
That's rude. We don't use that language in this house.
Okay.
Is this a house?
Well, I'm sorry. I forgot. I thought it was home for
a moment. When you get back to Walk the Moon and they rewrite it with that chorus of, let's discuss this later at a more appropriate time, dear. We'll see how that song sounds then. All right?
Shut up and dance with me. I'll show you shut up.
Here's show this beat with Ralph Garman. Inappropriate hand gestures, Ralph. Nobody needs to see that.
Now, who's being shut up now? That's what I'm asking. That's my sequel. That's a song I'm writing. It's called Who's Shutting Up Now?
Well, in that example, she certainly couldn't talk afterwards.
Yep. I got a problem today. I'm a little goofy. I'm a little on the goofy side. Please forgive me. Did Omar send you in a clip of the new music from Dave Grohl's new side project, Teenage Time Killers? I've been talking about them all morning long, largely because I love the name of their first debut album. It'll be released on July the 31st. It's called Greatest Hits Volume 1, which just makes me laugh so hard.
That's awesome.
Because it's their very first album. It may be their only album, for all we know. This is Dave's side project. How does he have time for a side project?
I don't know. Because it seems like he's never off the road
TV
with Foo Fighters.
TV series and doing documentaries and writing new stuff and touring with Foos. He's got time for a side project?
He tours
project?
With all other bands, too. I don't know. I don't know how he does it.
Maybe Teenage
he has a clone.
Time Killers is the name of the band. It is Dave and Queens of the Stone Age, Nick Oliveri, Slipknot's Corey Taylor, Matt Skiba from Alkaline Trio and Blink-182. On the first single off the album called Hung Out to Dry, they have Randy Blythe of Lamb of God come by and sing lead.
Okay.
If you know Randy's voice, he's like an angel. He sings like an angel. That Lamb of God. Oh, my dentist plays it sometimes when I'm in the waiting room. I go, what is that lovely song? He goes, oh, that's Lamb of God.
I use it to fall asleep.
Yeah.
Usually at night.
Here is the first single off the new album from Teenage Time Killers, Greatest Hits, Volume 1, the new single, Hung Out to Dry. That gentleman needs a lozenge. I'm guessing not everything on the album sounds like that. There's 20 different songs on this album.
Yeah.
Look forward to hearing more from Teenage Time Killers. That's the name of that band. Kris Jenner's upset, which makes me happy.
She's upset by what?
Well, she's used to calling the shots when it comes to her family, who she pimps out for her own gain. And she is not pleased that she no longer has any control over Bruce Jenner, who apparently talked to Diane Sawyer without her consent.
Well, aren't they either
divorced
or divorcing?
Yes, but Kris Jenner still believes that what Bruce does reflects upon the family brand.
It may, but she doesn't have any choice in the
matter,
right?
Well, she wants to have some choice in the matter.
He gave enough to that family.
Yeah. She is, according to RadarOnline.com, beyond concerned with what he revealed on 2020. She has not yet seen the full interview, and she is desperate to know what is going to be revealed before.
Wait,
she sees it on Friday. Well, no one has. It happens this Friday. We get to see the
So it's not interview. That she's seen it and she's upset. She has no idea what it...
Well, here's why she's upset. She knows who she is and what she's done.
Yeah.
And she's afraid Bruce Jenner will tell the truth about it.
I mean, think about it, Kevin. This would be like your wife writing a book.
Oh, can you imagine?
Terrifying.
All the cars he's stolen. All the pills he's taken that were mailed to him at the radio station. Did that ever happen? Did anyone ever mail you drugs and you took them?
No, that's ridiculous.
Did it ever happen?
No.
Did it ever happen?
No.
Did it ever happen?
I don't think so.
Bean, did it ever happen?
Absolutely.
All right, that's what I thought.
That's awesome.
Kris Jenner apparently had a panic attack when she got a look at his new additions up front. You know, he's had the breast implants.
Oh, he has?
Yes.
Because the way they shoot those promos, man, you just see like the back of his ponytail, man. That's all they'll show you in the teasers.
I don't know if he's had them for the interview, but I know he has them now.
All right.
So insiders are saying she is promising to sue him for everything he's worth if he defames her or their brand in any way. She is priceless. Wow. She's a gem. She's a delicate little flower.
The truth is the best defense, man. I hope he tears them apart.
Wouldn't that
and
be great?
Every word of it is true.
Wouldn't it be great if he just rips the lid off of that cesspool of a family and just says, it was hell. Here's what these people are really like. Can you imagine? And then just let it all hang out.
Yep, we had meetings all the time deciding who was going to get married and who was going to get divorced, and we coordinated the times of it.
Oh, that'd be so sweet.
Be great.
And speaking of sweet, good news for fans of Marvel's Daredevil over there on Netflix. They've announced they have confirmed a second season will premiere in 2016. So we get more Daredevil, which is good news for everyone.
Just rave reviews about that.
Great,
everybody's
great
watched
work.
It.
Great work. Charlie Cox is terrific in it, and Vincent D'Onofrio as Kingpin. Great stuff. Today's celebrity birthday is actor Jack Nicholson. Excuse me, 78 years old today. John Waters, 69. Jeffrey Dean Morgan is 49 years old today. We're going to be friends someday, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Me and Jeff.
Yeah.
We're going to hang out.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
JDM, what's up? You're going to hear a lot of that. Woo!
You're going to hear a lot of that, are you?
A lot of that.
I hope.
Daniel Johns from Silverchair is 36. Seahawks' Marshawn Lynch is 29.
Hey, I'm just here so I won't get fined.
Yeah, we know. We know, Marshawn. And the actress Amber Heard celebrates her 29th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin DeBeach Show, we have Jim Rome talking sports. We have Dr. Drew on the program. We have comedian Brad Williams in the studio. And we have your tickets in the second row for Mumford & Sons tomorrow.